Chapter 6 of the Autobiography of Lord Alfred Douglas. This Legamus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Chapter 6. Perhaps someone will say, "What is it that you complain of? Do you suggest that judges and lawyers ought not to adopt an attitude of reprehension towards these vices which you yourself admit to be horrible?" I reply that I do not complain that judges and advocates should adopt such an attitude, but I do complain most bitterly that a man who is living a perfectly good and proper life with his wife and child, who, in the face of great odds, had established a commanding position in the world of poetry and letters, and who, for 12 years, has done everything possible to live down youthful indiscretions, for which he has already endured the most frightful punishment, should be denied that protection of the law against malicious libel which is the natural right of any decent citizen. This is what happened to me in 1913. I had long ceased to have any connection with the wild gang or cult. I had been married for more than 11 years. I had recovered my position in society, and I was living a perfectly harmless and reputable life. I had edited a leading literary paper for 3.5 years with considerable success and credit, and I had published what even my worst enemies admit to be some of the finest poetry in the English language. Yet when I appealed to the courts for protection against a malicious statement made in a book at the instigation of the late Robert Ross, who hated me and had sworn to revenge himself on me because I declined to go on associating with him, to the effect that I was responsible for the ruin of Oscar Wilde, the courts, instead of protecting me as they should have done, allowed me to be flung to the wolves. Letters written by me to Oscar Wilde, which had been stolen by Robert Ross and kept secretly, although at the time he stole them he professed to be one of my greatest friends, were brought up against me and put to me in court. I was outmatched in the most cruel way by the weight of counsel. I had arrayed against me, appearing, if you please, for Mr. Arthur Ransom, the author of the book containing the libel, a young struggling author who, without the assistance of Ross and his gang, would have been hard put to it to find £100, Sir James Campbell, leader of the Irish Bar, Mr. McCarty, now Mr. Justice McCarty, Mr. F. E. Smith, now Lord Birkenhead, and other junior counsel. While I, for my part, was represented by only an inexperienced junior, who had been called to the bar for only about 2 years. This junior, my old friend Mr. Cecil Hayes, did his gallant best against hopeless odds, but the attitude of the judge made his already difficult task impossible. There are some judges who, if they see a man in the courts struggling against an overwhelming array of big counsel, with the assistance of only an inexperienced junior, will make a point of trying their best to help him out, and at any rate see that he gets as good a chance as possible of getting his case before the jury. But Mr. Justice Darling is not one of them. Letters written by Oscar Wilde to me, and which had got somehow into the possession of my father — they were stolen by a servant from me and sold to my father — were brought up against me. They were produced by Messrs. Charles Russell and Company, my father's solicitors, at the request, doubtless, as they would say, on subpoena, of Messrs. Lewis and Lewis, who were also my father's solicitors in the first place when he had his fight with Oscar Wilde. Thus, the two firms of solicitors employed by my father in what he and his counsel, Sir Edward Carson, described over and over again as an effort to save his son, combined to produce these letters against that son and to ruin him, or endeavour to do so, 18 years later, under the complacent eye of Mr. Justice Darling. In addition to that, the judge allowed the whole of the unpublished portion of the letter known as De Profundis, written to me, but which I never received, as it remained in the hands of Robert Ross, by Oscar Wilde in prison to be used as evidence against me. For 2 hours I sat in the witness box and listened to the poisonous stream of wild lies and grotesque accusations which Wilde, in his rage and despair at the situation he found himself in, had committed to paper in his prison cell, although in the last letter he wrote to me before his conviction he had told me for the 100th time that his only hope of living through any sentence he might get was that I would stick to him, and that he might one day just see me again and touch my hand. I remember this passage from the letter. "Child of all my imagination, little delicate flower, I am going to test the power of love. I am going to see if I cannot make the bitter waters sweet by the intensity of the love I bear you." In another letter of the same period he said, "None of God's created things, and you are the morning star of life, has been so wildly worshipped, so madly adored." In another letter he called me, "My darling child, with Christ's own heart in you." Between the time when he wrote these letters, and at least 30 others in the same strain, all of which, alas, I destroyed about a year before this ransom case came on, and the time when he wrote the De Profundis letter, nothing whatever had happened between us. He went into prison vowing eternal devotion to me, and imploring me in the most pathetic and heartbreaking terms not to desert him, but to stick to him, and wait for him till he came out, all of which and much more I faithfully did. And within a year he was writing this frightful farrago of abuse and vilification, strange and terrible enigma. I will return to it later. Mr. Martin Secker, who was the publisher of the book by Mr. Arthur Ransom, Oscar Wilde, A Critical Study, containing the libel on me, and who withdrew the book from circulation directly I issued writs against him and Mr. Ransom, told me some years later the whole story of how the book came to be written, and to contain the reflection on me which goaded me into taking action, and thus gave Robert Ross his chance of gratifying his malice. Mr. Secker said to me, in substance, as follows: "I must say that Ransom was perfectly innocent in the matter. He came to me and suggested a book on Wilde, and, after hearing what his idea of the book was, I commissioned him to write it. He then said that it would be a tremendous help to him in writing the book if he could get an introduction to Robert Ross. He subsequently met Ross, who was very friendly, and seemed inclined to give him every assistance. Ross told Ransom that if he would be guided by him, and do the book on certain lines, he would give him access to all sorts of documents and sources of information which had not been available to anyone else. Naturally, Ransom gratefully agreed to all that Ross proposed, and after that it was easy for Ross to get in the attack on you which the book contained, and which in itself was only a matter of a few words." Mr. Secker went on to tell me that when his attention was drawn to it, he had immediately recognised that the attack on me was unfair, and in no way essential to the book, and that he told Ransom that he intended to withdraw the book from circulation and issue a new edition, leaving out the words complained of. He told me that Ransom would have agreed to this, but, perhaps naturally enough, when Ransom found that the case was to be turned into a cause celebre, and that he was to be provided with all the materials to fight it without any risk to himself, he readily agreed to let Ross arrange the matter in his own way. Ross's way was to make Ransom plead justification, and by the methods I have described, the case was fought and won, and the justification was legally established. End of chapter 6.